How you guys doing this morning? Good. Hopefully you're awake. I'm so glad you've chosen to gather with us. 2024, it looks good on you. You guys look good this morning, and we're kicking off this series together, and I just have really one question to kick us all off, and it's this question. It's simply this: what if you could predict your future? Like, have you thought about that? What if you could actually predict your future? How amazing would that be? Like, where would you live? What would you do? What new thing would you try if you could actually, like, predict, go to the future of all of that? Now, you might be thinking, Josh, is this like a Back to the Future situation? Because I've kind of been preparing for this, like 2021 gigawatts, right? Like, do I go to the future and come back to the present, bet on a sports team, and, you know, live happily ever after? No, nothing like that. But as we roll into this new year, can you even imagine how different your life might be or could be if you could actually predict your future? That you could live today with confidence and clarity about your future. And here's what you would discover is, even though you didn't know how everything would work out right now, you knew where your life was headed. Like, you realize, hey, you might face some difficulty and heartbreak, but that doesn't have to shake your confidence because you know your future. This is just a part of your story. This is just a part of your journey. And what you would have is less anxiety and more contentment and great confidence because you could actually predict your future. Can you just envision that? Can you imagine that? Believe it or not, most of you have been close. Most of you have been close. And here's I know you've been close. Maybe you've never decided to believe in God, but you've still been close because we have this in common. At one point in our lives, we screamed or shook our heads or pounded the table and said these words: I should have seen this coming. I should have ever said that, ever thought that. Like, maybe it was at the end of a job or the end of a relationship or at the end of a test you should have studied for. Like, I should have seen this coming. And if you've ever, like, made a huge mistake and, like, look back on your life, the signs were there. The information was there. And you just think to yourself, I should have seen this coming. And if you can say that, I can say me too. Like, you're not alone in that. This is for everyone. Now, if that's not you, you can't identify with that. I bet you have friends where you could look at their lives and you love them, but they're the kind of friends that are really good at making bad decisions. Do you know who I'm talking about? They're really good at making some bad decisions. You never have some of those friends. And from your perspective and from your vantage point, it's like 3 months ago, I could have told them what they're going through today. Like, I could have totally predicted what would have been happening in life. And I know, I love them. They never intended to make bad decisions, and they never intended to hurt anybody, and they never intended to do what they're doing now, but it was who they're dating. It was how they were spending their money. It was what they spent their time on. And you had concerns months ago. And I'm not picking on them. No, we love them. In fact, your friendship with them might be one of their bad decisions. But you saw the heartbreak and you saw the disappointment and you saw it coming from a mile away. You saw it coming. Don't you believe it or not, we actually are pretty good at predicting our future. Now, throughout this series, I just want you to know, this is not me standing up in front of you saying, hey, I got my life figured out, listen to me. No, I'm journeying with you. So I'm not trying to tell you what to do. You get to decide for yourselves. In fact, the only way this works is if you decide for yourself. But no matter what you believe, as we enter in this new year, I think you owe it to yourself to pause and reflect, to pause and recalibrate, because I believe that your life is valuable. I believe that your life was important. I believe with all my heart that you were created on purpose with a purpose. But I have some bad news. You ready for some deep theology? Your life is different than your car. Not what you were thinking I was going to say, is it? Right? Gee, Josh, you should have studied harder. No, but the truth is, like, you probably don't think about it this way, but your life is different than your car. And here's what I mean. When something goes wrong with my car, I take it to the mechanic. If I wreck my car, I go to Graham's Auto Body, and they work on it, and Scott throws me the keys, and he says, hey, Josh, here you go. It's as good as new. It's like the accident never happened. And no matter what you believe, you know this from experience. Your life is different than your car. You are way more complex than your car. Like, have you ever, like, paused to, like, think about that? Have you ever paused to reflect on the massive levels of complexity that it takes for you to even be doing what you're doing here in this moment? Hearing, feeling, breathing, reading, seeing, smelling, thinking. You were created with overwhelming complexity. And meaning, when life hurts and when relationships break and when kids rebel and when spouses hurt us, unfortunately, there's no repair shop for that. Unfortunately, there's no like, hey, it's like it never happened. It's as good as new. Now, you might be able to mend the relationship. That's possible. And you might be able to save back up for retirement. That's possible. But we almost never say to ourselves, you know what? I was molested, failed out of college, been divorced, then got bankrupt, but I went to church 3 times, and now I feel as good as new. Unfortunately, that will never be our story. And that's why I believe that every decision you make is so valuable. Every decision you make is so important, because the reason we're doing this series is I just don't want you to have to hurt unnecessarily. So I want to introduce you to this concept called the principle of the path, the principle of the path. Now, that path. And now, if you're not a Jesus follower, you're still affected by the principle of the path, because it's a principle. It's not a rule. So it's not a rule we follow. So this isn't like obey these rules and you will be as good as new. No, a principle is not a rule you follow. A principle actually follows you. It follows me. So they're not things that we choose to apply to our lives. In fact, even if you don't believe in them, or even if you don't know about them, we don't choose them. They choose us. They affect us. They apply themselves to us. And so a principle is not a law that we could break, but it's something that can break us. So let me just show you what I mean. Maybe you've heard of this guy called Archimedes, the Archimedes principle. He lived in the 3rd century BC. Archimedes was a mathematician, so he explained to the world what had been going on in the world since the beginning of the world, but no one had explained it before. So he wrote this formula right here, and I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, that makes complete sense. I know exactly what you're talking about. I wouldn't have known. And so here what we're talking about is the Archimedes principle happens every time you and I go to the pool or every time we get on a boat. In mathematical terms, Archimedes explained fluid mechanics. And he explained why pebbles sink, right? And why cruise ships can actually float. That's what he explained. And so even if you've never heard of Archimedes, you've probably experienced his principles, to which you might say, Josh, like, time out. Like, wait a minute. I don't even know Archimedes. I've never read the life and works of Archimedes. I don't believe in Archimedes. Josh, it's not fair that some old dead guy can impact me, influence me, affect me. I don't even know who he is, but that is the nature of a principle, right? Whether you either acknowledge them and you float, right? Or you wreck your life up against them. Like, the choice is yours. You get to choose. We can actually now leverage this principle. Did I just sink the battleship? For the good. I've got it wrong every service. But the choice is up to yours. Like, but that is the principle of the path. Don't play with rocks and water. But now, right now, this moment, this is a rhetorical question. So you don't answer out loud, but do you even know what path you're on? Do you even know what path that you're on? That at the end of the day, that the path you're on will actually get you where you need to go? See, the reality is, Jesus follower or not, we're all trusting in something. We're all faithing in something. And we can be as different as imaginable, you and I. We can come from way different backgrounds, grew up in church, first time in church, left the church, hate the church, all kinds of different backgrounds. But we have this in common. You and I, we're both trusting in something. And then we'll all each have this in common. We'll both have a moment or a point in our life where we will hit a wall and we will wonder, am I actually on the right path? Will the path that I'm on, will it actually get me to where I need to go? Will the path that I'm on lead to peace and joy and meaning and purpose? Or is my life going to stay sunk? Is my life going to stay a wreck? See, at Victory, we believe that Jesus changes everything for everyone, no matter your background. No matter your struggle, no matter your baggage, we can experience true transformation. In fact, when we go back and look at the scriptures, we see how Jesus interacted with different genders and different races and different nationalities and different religious backgrounds. But we read on the pages of this word, we discover that Jesus changes absolutely everything for everyone. And when it comes to the path that you're on, and when it comes to the path that you're choosing, you need to know what's so amazing about Jesus is he, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or even what you currently believe, Jesus would invite you to follow him. Follow him. Because he not only does he love you, maybe you heard the song growing up in church, yes, Jesus loves me. He doesn't just love you. He maybe you can't even comprehend this, but he actually likes you. He likes you. And then you get to open up the pages of the New Testament, like what we've been doing as a church. We started January 1st in the Gospel of Mark. We've been 5 chapters in on the Gospel of Mark. If you don't have a plan yet, look for a plan in the seat rack in front of you or out the resource table, or you could buy the $5 Bible at the resource center out there to the right. But if you're online, you can download it from our Victory app and just read it for yourself. And here's what you'll discover: a radically different path than what people all over America think. Okay, because what most people think is the message of Jesus is do something good so that God will be on your side. So you just need to do a whole bunch of good stuff to earn God's favor, to get God's favor. Do a whole bunch of good stuff to get God on your side. But that was not his message. Other people believe that to do something good so that you will go to heaven. So this life is all about earning heaven. Obey every rule. As long as the good outweighs the bad, you can go to heaven. That was not his message. The message of Jesus was, if you put into practice what I say is right and true, if Jesus says, no matter what hits your life won't fall apart. So follow me. I can heal you. Follow me. I want to restore you. Follow me and let me lead you to peace and purpose and meaning. And even though the storms of life, they will come, you don't have to be anxious. You can live every day confident that I'm going to actually lead you to the right place. In fact, Jesus preaches all of that in this famous sermon, the most famous sermon in history, called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the sermon, he covers everything. He covers prayer, adultery, love, suffering, justice, blessing, forgiveness, anger, feeding the hungry. I'm telling you, everything is in the Sermon on the Mount. And then Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. I just want to lead you to a place. I want to lead you to a place where you can actually know, believe, and experience that there is a God who knows your name, and he doesn't just love you. He actually likes you, and he's inviting you to participate in what he's doing in this world. So Jesus, closes his sermon with an illustration about two builders and two houses in one storm, but two different outcomes. And so Jesus is describing two different paths. So if you have your Bible or mobile device, Matthew chapter 7, says this, therefore, so therefore is important, meaning because of the whole sermon I just preached to you, Jesus is saying, therefore, because of all of that, everyone. So this is anyone is invited. This is everyone is invited. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and memorizes them. Now, that's not what it says, right? Everyone who hears these words of mine and believes them. You just got to believe. It doesn't say that either. Scripture says even the demons believe. No, Jesus says this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into what? Practice. You got to put it into practice. So Jesus isn't teaching a faith of works, but he's challenging us to have a faith that works. This means this whole faith thing only works when we put the words of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus into practice. Now, we just want to acknowledge that Jesus never promises to fix all your problems. So he doesn't say, hey, just pray this special prayer or say these 3 special words or if you just make 3 easy payments of $29.99, all your problems will go away. Jesus never said any of that because that's not how life works. In fact, if you go to a church and you hear that, go to a different church. That's not how it works. So Jesus never promises a quick fix. He points the way forward. He points the way out. He invites his people to live in a different direction. Here's what he actually said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman. And a wise is the Greek word, this Greek word right here, meaning sensible, intelligent, or prudent. So a wise man or a wise woman is someone who understands that life is connected, that our past is connected to our present. And so that means that what you and I are doing right now will be connected to our future. And so that means in our future you is an exaggerated version of current you. And so right now in 2024, the path you're on, the things that you invest in, what you read, how you think, where you spend your time, it is connected to future you. And so if you want me to predict your future, I just want you to tell me about your habits. Tell me about your habits. Not your intentions. I think you have great intentions. I believe you have all of the intentions to be generous. I think you have all of the intentions to want to feel close to God. I think you probably have intentions to have muscles like pythons. Like the great intentions. But I can predict it. Just tell me your habits. And I'll be able to predict your future. Because our life is it's connected. Future you is an exaggerated version of current you. And the wise person, they understand that our past is connected to our present, and our present is a good predictor of our future. Jesus says it this way, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice like a wise man or a wise woman who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why did it not fall? Because it had its foundation on the what? The rock. Now, this is critical. This is full transparency. I just want you to acknowledge you don't always avoid the storms of life. You might not always avoid the difficulties of life. But the promise is those difficulties don't have to rob you of your peace. Those difficulties don't have to rob you of your confidence or your clarity. And even though you don't know how everything is going to work out, you know where your life is headed. Because you placed your life on the rock, the truth, the cornerstone that is Jesus. That is a path. You can absolutely choose that path. Jesus would invite you, but he will not force you. We all have the ability to choose a different direction. Here's how he says it. But every one of you who hears these words of mine and does not put them into what? Practice. Is like a foolish man. I don't know about you, but I geek out on this. I like the Greek word for fool. It means dull, stupid, foolish, flat, without edge, mentally inert, dull in understanding, moronic, lacking a grip on reality, acting as though brainless. I think that's pretty awesome. To which you might say, Josh, you calling me a fool? No, I said that you might be acting a fool, right? A foolish person doesn't realize who they are right now and what they're doing right now is actually connected to eternity. And so sleep with whoever you want. Spend as much money as you want. You withhold and manipulate and bully all of your relationships. Fools don't see their life is actually connected. Fools think our life is like an electronic device. And if something goes wrong in my relationship with my kids or my marriage, if I have job problems or financial problems, they think our lives are just like an electronic device, meaning we all know the very first step in solving all the electronic issues. What is it? You unplug the device. That's it, right? And you count to 10 and then you plug the thing back in. You just like reboot the device and you'll be as good as new. And people on this path think, hey, it's okay if my marriage is struggling. I just need to unplug and reboot and find somebody else. I can keep spending. I don't need a budget. When the bank finally shuts down my accounts, that'll tell me. And then I just unplug and reboot and declare bankruptcy. The answer to my problem is a new school, a new relationship, a new name, a new gender, a new OnlyFans account, a new job, a new hairdo. I just need to unplug and reboot, and that's what I need to do. But the only problem with that is you're still on the same path. And because I care about you, I want to be fully transparent. You could be living in the wrong direction and be happier than you've ever been. Saying that out loud, that's possible. You can be living in the wrong direction and life could be exciting. You can be living in the wrong direction and it will look like your life is going well. She's the greatest. He's the greatest. Way better than that other loser. I know it's not a dream job and it's not exactly ethical, but it pays well and people do way worse things than I do all of the time. See, in fact, when we just unplug and reset, when we're living in the wrong direction, we start to feel like we should probably convince our friends and convince our parents and convince all those haters out there that we were right, that this is going to work, this path, it's going to work. And get this, worse than that. As you know, it's possible to be living in the wrong direction and you will find other Christians who are jealous of you. Have you seen who she's dating? Have you seen their house? Have you seen the parties they're invited to? You could be living the wrong direction and be happier than you've ever been until you're just not anymore. Why? Because sin always fascinates us before it assassinates us. Sin always fascinates us. It's exciting before it assassinates us. If you wait long enough, if you're honest with yourself, here's what you'll discover. Your new life starts to become exactly like your old life. And we think, oh, no, I'm going to be different in the future. No, time doesn't change who you are. Time reveals who you are. And if you make the same decisions, if you're unwilling to forgive, if you're unwilling to stop comparing, and you just restart and unplug and nothing changes, here's what will happen to every one of us. You will just produce a more jaded, skeptical, distrusting future you. Time doesn't change who you are. Time reveals who we are. And if you never pause to evaluate your direction, future you will be an exaggerated version of current you. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it fell, and it fell with a great crash. You can be living in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, and you end up where you never intended to be. Isn't it true, like when you're driving and you get lost, you're not really sure the exact moment you became lost? When you're driving, you were lost long before you actually realized, hey, I think I'm lost. When we are lost, we don't know how to get unlost. And some of you are lost right now. And only a fool would think, oh, all I need to do is unplug and disengage and drink some more and smoke some more and vape some more and just reengage with something else and your problems will just go away. Your heavenly Father who created you, who loves you, who died in your place for you, looks at you and says, you're not a car, and you're not a toaster, and you're definitely not a computer. You were created on purpose with a purpose. I made you in the image of God. You are gloriously complex, and you're precious, and so I'm sorry there's no quick fix, but I'm inviting you to change your direction. He doesn't promise a quick fix. He points the way forward. He points the way out. He invites us to live in a different direction. He says it this way, therefore, everyone who the people who never sin, therefore, the people who just grew up in church, therefore, the people who should have listened to me the first time, no, therefore, everyone, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. So, what if you could actually predict your own future? Jesus says, trust me. Jesus says, follow me, and I will lead you. I will guide you. I will restore you. You're mine. I paid for you, and I will not use you, and I will never, ever leave you, and I will die for you in place of you, and you can have peace and confidence that I can lead you to this rich and satisfying life. See, Jesus followers, we believe that when we place our life underneath biblical authority, it's a better way to do life. When we place our life underneath biblical authority, it can actually lead to life. God has given us his word to direct us and to protect us, to direct us and to protect us. That's why we're doing this whole reading plan. We're reading through the New Testament to decide which plan you're going to use right now. The one on the app, the one in the chair in front of you, the one out there at the resource center, right? Just decide right now, because for the next year, we're going to spend 5 minutes a day for 5 days a week, if you can catch up on the weekends, trying to understand, to trust and follow God's word. And here's just an overview of what we're going to be reading together. It's called the New Testament, right? We have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels are four different accounts of the life of Jesus. Matthew was an eyewitness. Mark interviewed people. Peter was Mark's main source. Luke said he investigated many eyewitnesses, and John himself was an eyewitness. And so we call those the Gospels. Now, they're really history, but unlike other history, we have four different perspectives talking about the events that happened during 3 years over the life of one person who is Jesus. Then we have the book of Acts. And Acts is really a book of history through the New Testament. It tells us the history of what happened the 30 years after Jesus ascended. Acts records the spread of Christianity and the persecution of the church. Now, to get more insight into the history recorded in Acts, that's when we turn to the letters, right? That's where it says Ephesians. Ephesians is a letter to the people of Ephesus. a place that you could go and visit today. But in the book of Acts, you can read the account of when Paul actually went to Ephesus. In this letter to the Ephesians, you read about the kind of things that Paul was teaching to those very first followers of Jesus in Ephesus. Same with the book of Philippians, same with the book of Colossians, same with the book of Romans, and so on. And then you do have a couple other personal letters thrown in there to Timothy about how to lead a church. And then you have the last book is Revelation. It's a book of prophecy. And 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and together we're going to read through it. And this summer we're going to do some book studies. So we're going to read through this during the week, and then you're going to come here on Sunday and you're going to hear us talk about it. It's like, well, why would we do this? Why would we read this? Because we know where it leads. We know where it leads. And we have to know what God's word says in order for us to follow it. And when we read it, there's a promise that it's always relevant, that it's always moving, that it's always active, that it can actually guide us. In fact, the Hebrew writer says it this way, for the word, the rock, the truth of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, points the joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God has given us his word to direct us and to protect us. His word is designed to penetrate the depths of who we are. And when we read it, we are become transformed from the inside out. And get this, science proves it. There's a study done by the Center of Bible Engagement. Scientific evidence discovered that proves that reading the Bible has a powerful impact on the human brain. The research analyzed 40,000 Americans from 8 to 80, and they found out how reading scripture impacts our behavior. They discovered something unexpected. They weren't looking for this, but they discovered that when we read the Bible, it actually affects our neural pathways. It changes the neural pathways in our brain. And it affects our cognitive thinking and our behavior. And so scientists observe that when you read, dopamine releases and it begins to change the neural pathways. And so that means that God's word is moving and active, just like it promised. It changes the way that we think. Not only that, scientists discovered that reading the Bible sets us on a different scientifically proven path. That when we read scripture, feelings of loneliness fall by 30%. Anger problems fall by 32%. Grudges and relationships fall by 40%. Not only that, alcoholism falls by 57%. Feelings of spiritual stagnation, I'm not close to God, falls by 60%. Contact with pornography falls by 61%. Sharing your faith, the ability to share your faith with others, it grows by 200%. The practice of you actively participating and making disciples grows by 230%. And the ability to mentally retain God's word grows by 407%. This is not what some preacher's telling you. This is what the science says. Reading the Bible sets us on a different scientifically proven path. That God's word was designed to direct us and to protect us. Jesus promises it. Science proves it. Jesus changes everything for everyone. And this is a big but, a big badunkadunk. That growth and transformation does not happen when you read the Bible for just one day a week. Scientists proves reading the Bible one day a week has almost zero effect. And I don't want to tell you this, but that means that if you come here every week for the rest of your life and you sit in those rows and you let me read the Bible to you, it will have little to no effect on you. Science proves that reading the Bible 2 days a week, meaning that you could come here on Sunday and have me read you the Bible and attend a group later on and have your group leader read you the Bible, it has almost zero to little effect on you. Then you can read the Bible 3 days a week and it does have some identifiable effect, but the magic number is four. 4 days a week is the magic number. When we read the Bible 4 days a week or more, it actually delivers on all of those statistics I just read you. Without that, the 4 days, you don't get those statistics. 4 days or more, it changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we believe. It changes what we do. It changes the path that we're on. Reading the Bible will change your future. And that's why, Jesus follower or not, I just want to challenge you to participate in the New Testament Bible reading plan. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week for the next year. You see, we lie to ourselves because we, deep down, we believe transformation happens all at once. Right? I tried really hard the first 7 days of the year. 2024 has been so hard. If I would have changed, I would have changed by now. Anybody giving up on a New Year's resolution? I want to quit. It's been 7 days. And we quit because we don't see any progress. We think the transformation is supposed to happen all at once. But the truth is, the reality is, transformation starts with one decision at a time. One decision at a time in the right direction. I'm telling you, you have no idea what hangs in the balance of that one decision. Because that one decision leads to another decision, which leads to another decision, which leads to another decision, because our life is connected. What you're doing right now will be connected to your future. Future you is an exaggerated version of current you. Sometimes someone told you that you've been lied to. I've been lied to. We've been lied to our whole lives. There is no magic bullet. There is no secret formula. You can't get rich quick. You can't lose 30 pounds in a week. You can buy all the face cream you want, but you can't rub 20 years off of your face. You just can't. Like, I wish it was easy. And I know you don't want to hear this. I definitely don't want to hear this, but what God is growing in you and what God is growing in me, it's going to take some time. It just takes time. But the choice is yours. I'm not telling you what to do. I just want you to be able to choose. I don't want you to just let life happen to you. But do you know when I know that you will finally decide to change? It's when the pain of staying the same. The pain of unplugging, rebooting. You're tired, you're worn out, you're broken down. You're in pain. Only when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain to change. Then I know that you will take some steps to change. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just asking. Don't you want to avoid some pain? What is ultimately less painful? Just staying with what you're doing or just taking the step to change? Staying the same or changing? And there's people that you care about, people who love you. They can look at your life and they can actually predict your future. Because people see the direction that you're headed and it's breaking their heart, and you won't listen to them because you feel like you can't. But here's the heartbreaking thing. Unlike driving, when you get lost and you lose 30 minutes and you go to your loved one's house and you have this good laugh, like, I'm 30 minutes late, I'm sorry, I just got lost. You know, in life, you and I, we can recover from 30 minutes. But if we're living our life in the wrong direction, you can miss all of your 20s. You can miss all of your 30s. You can drive right past your first marriage. You can miss all of your kids growing up. You can miss the opportunity to connect with your grandkids. I'm telling you, you can miss so much. You will miss out on what's most important, but you don't have to. You don't have to. Your Heavenly Father, He loves you so much, He spent the life of His Son for you, in place of you, to lead you, to guide you, to restore you, to extend this invitation to you. Would you just follow me? Would you just follow me? Because I just want to lead you to this enduring home. Follow me, and I will build for you an enduring life. Because following Jesus will eventually, maybe not initially, maybe not immediately, but following Jesus will eventually make your life better. And following Jesus will eventually make you better at life. He offered a better life. He called it eternal life. The foundation of the Jesus followers' faith is the nail-scarred, resurrected feet of Jesus. That's our rock. That's our foundation. That's our proof that Jesus actually has the power in this life and the next. And even if you never decide to actually follow Jesus, you know this. You're going to end up somewhere. There's a destination for you somewhere in your marriage, with your kids, financially. There's a destination. Everybody you know ends up somewhere. I just want you to end up there on purpose. That's what we call the principle of the path. Would you pray with me? Father, just thank you so much that you sent your Son in our place to guide us, to restore us, to direct us. Father, I just pray that in this moment you would give us the wisdom to know what is right. Father, would you give us the courage to do what is right this week? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.